This is the second Sunday of Advent. And today we're going to be looking at the question, by what shall I know? Or how shall I know? But before we start to look into this question, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you at this time, at this really strange and difficult time in which we are, of a pandemic that is really coming in on our country and countries around the world, so many of us in isolation. But thank you, Father, that you are not isolated from us. This pandemic doesn't affect you. And Lord, thank you that you are here in our midst, wherever we are right now, that there you are. And Lord, we pray that, well, we pray through this time, number one, for our medical personnel, for many people that are getting so stressed out and overworked, and we pray for the doctors and nurses in the hospitals, and just give them comfort and help and wisdom and peace at this time. Lord, I think also of the frontline workers that are out working and giving of themselves to help the rest of us to be able to keep on keeping on. Also for the leaders of our country and the government and our medical examiners and officers, Lord, we pray for them at this time. We pray that they would be guided by you and have wisdom from you. Lord, many people are looking to try to find answers to how to end this pandemic. And we thank you for gifted doctors and people that are working to help to make a vaccine for this virus. And Lord, we would pray that you give them wisdom and guidance and help. I also think, Lord, of many seniors from the congregation here who are more isolated than ever because family can't come and see them and they're on their own. And we would pray right now just for a special sense that they would know your presence at this very moment right where they are, that you are with them. You're not isolated from them. I also think of those, we've got several in our congregation, Lord, that you know are not well at all. And we uphold them to you, praying for your hand of healing to come upon them and to bring healing into their lives. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, thank you for it. You know where each one of us is at. You know what is going on in each one of our lives and hearts. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would come and through your word today, minister into each one of our lives, your word and your truth. For we pray and we ask this now in your most worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you ever had doubts? You know, doubts about God. Like, you look around and you say, oh, there has to be a God, but do you ever have doubts that God is there and he's listening to you? Have you ever had doubts about God's word? That from Genesis to Revelation is God's word and his truth for us? Is there times you think, well, I'm not sure about that, and you just cut it out? You know, God's word is God's word. It isn't what we think about it. But have you ever had doubts about it? Have you ever had doubts about prayer? You know, maybe there's something that you have earnestly prayed about for years, and there's never seemed to have been any answer to your prayer. Maybe there is something that has shaken your world and caused you to question, God, are you there? Maybe to even start to doubt your faith. Maybe doubt has slowly grown over time and you're totally unaware of how deep it really has entered into your soul and your heart. Maybe your faith has given way to doubt in all kinds of ways. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who lived and walked by faith in God. People like Abraham and Noah and Moses and Rahab the prostitute. Think of Rahab, and she was, she knew that the God of Israel was God. When the spies came into Jericho, she housed them and kept them and then safely made sure they safely escaped and got away. And she became to know the God of Israel. But you know, the Bible does not only tell us of people's faith and victories. The Bible is also brutally honest in telling us about people's doubts and defeats and failures. And today I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and following. Listen to this. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he was staying so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them, and they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When the time of service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." What a story. Zechariah is a priest. He and his wife Elizabeth, they have lived upright lives in the sight of God. They have observed all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly, we read. They were God-honoring, God-fearing people. And yet, they had this major disappointment in their life. They had no children. And now both of them are well along in years. You know, I try to put myself in their place, and I try to imagine some of the disappointment and the pain and even the frustration that they felt over these years of never being able to have a family of their own. And at some point in their life, or at least in Zechariah's life, there must have come that death of a lifelong prayer. Maybe you can relate over something that you have been praying about for years and years and years. and you've never seen an answer to your prayer. You know, I'm impressed with Zechariah and Elizabeth. We read that they were faithful, their faithfulness to God. And through it all, they were blameless. But you know, the events that happen or don't happen in our lives do impact us greatly. Zechariah's priestly division was on duty at the temple. And he gets chosen to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense. You know, this was not something that every priest got to do. It's my understanding, some in the priesthood, they waited years for that to happen. And they never got chosen to go in to offer the incense in the temple. This could very well have been, I don't know, but it could very well have been Zechariah's only and first time that he had ever been chosen. Now an old man. And I can imagine his excitement, like, finally I can go into the temple and offer the incense. And then as he's entering into the temple, and wouldn't you know it, I try to place myself in his shoes. And as you're going in, there would be this overwhelming excitement and joy and prayer as you're coming before God. And then all of a sudden, what's that? What's that beside the altar of incense? And there's an angel. And I know what would go through my mind. Why me? Why now? Why of all times does this have to happen right now to me? I wonder if Zechariah thought that at all, other than just being plain terrified. And not only was the angel standing there on the right side of the altar of incense, now the angel speaks and says, "Your prayer has been heard." And at least in my mind's eye, I can imagine Zechariah going, "What did I just pray? What was I just praying? I don't know. I was praying for the God of Israel to bless the people. And as I come before him in fear and trembling, oh God, just listen to our prayer." And the angel then says, "Your wife is going to have a baby." What? When did I last pray that? That isn't what I was just praying. I wonder if the last time he prayed that prayer was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, maybe if even 15 or 20 years ago. I find myself wondering when Zechariah gave up believing that God would ever answer his prayer. Have you given up believing in your prayer? Maybe it's a prayer that you've had for one of your children. And you prayed for years for them, and you've given up. Or maybe it's one of your siblings, a brother or a sister. Or maybe it's your spouse. Zechariah had come to believe he and his wife were too old to have a child. What prayer have you given up on? Believing now that it will never happen because you are now too old. They're too far gone. Too much has happened. I'll never see the answer to that prayer. And so Zechariah asked the angel in verse 18, "How can I be sure of this?" The Authorized Version puts it this way, "By what shall I know and be sure of this?" In other words, what can happen that I might know? Give me a sign. It seemed impossible to Zechariah. He's an old man. And I like, he's very diplomatic. He said, "My wife is well along in years." Wasn't that nice of him? But what proof can there be that this will happen? Because this is craziness. Old people who are almost dead and all worn out don't have kids. Everyone knows that. That's not how it works. It's never happened that way before. Oh, Zechariah, think for a moment. There was a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible says that he was as good as dead, and his wife was all worn out, and God gave them a son. Now, Zechariah would have known that story. But you see, he didn't believe that it would be possible for him and Elizabeth. You know, we actually learn through the angel that Zechariah's question actually comes out of doubt. In verse 20, we read, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." You did not believe. Zechariah, a priest of all people, and he had come to the place where he did not believe God's word. Ouch! And I wonder for us, me as a pastor, for you as a Christian, have you come to not believe God's word? Oh, upright, righteous, devout, God-fearing, but instead of living by faith in God, doubt has crept in and snuffed out faith. What direction are you moving in? Is it towards faith and reliance upon God? Or is it away from God and toward the direction of fear and doubt? You know, this is a crucial question for each one of us to ask ourselves. Am I walking by faith in God, or have I allowed doubt to snuff out that faith? You know, we can so quickly and easily slip away from trust in God. And thinking about Zechariah, are you needing to move from a position of doubt and return to faith once again? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "We live by faith and not by sight." We live by faith and not sight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it was because of doubt and unbelief that Zechariah was suddenly struck with being unable to speak. You know, I can't help but wonder if because of doubt and unbelief amongst us, what would happen? For every moment of doubt and action of doubt in our lives, I wonder how many of us would be left to speak if that happened to us today. Things might get awfully quiet. Let's face it. Our lives are full of how kind of questions. You know, in Mark chapter 9, we read the story of Jesus healing a boy with an evil spirit. This boy's dad had come to Jesus, just pleading with Jesus to help him. Let me read from Mark 9, verse 21. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Wow. You know, it has been said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Boy, you stop to think about that, and that's profound. But you know, we so easily forget that the purpose of the first step is a journey of 1,000 miles. You see, the Christian life is a whole lot more than just praying a prayer for salvation. And now, okay, I'm okay to go to heaven. The Christian life is a lifelong faithful commitment to Jesus Christ, period. And sometimes in discouragement, people give up. I've actually had people tell me, you know, it just didn't work for me. It's all right for you because it works for you, but it never worked for me. God never answered my prayers. In other words, they didn't get what they wanted. Just as a musician practices hour after hour, or someone in athletic training works out every day to keep in shape, so faith grows stronger when we keep exercising it. Faith develops its spiritual strength when we keep using it. Stop walking by faith, and your faith will quickly shrivel up and die. And it's not about the amount of faith you have. Oh, I have more faith and more faith and more faith. It's not about that. It's about the object of where you place your faith. You know, if you have a lot of faith and you place it in a very weak object, let's say an old rickety rocketing chair, and you plop yourself down in that old rickety rocketing chair because, well, it's rocked for hundreds of years and you're just going to rock away in it because it was good enough for Dad and it was good enough for Grandpa, so it'll be good enough for me. And you plop down, even though you had a lot of faith, you just kept on going. Makes me think of a Bible study Sandy and I had in our home one time. And there was a group of us together, all studying God's Word. And one fella was sitting in one of our chairs. It wasn't a rocking chair, but he was just leaning back on it. And I was mortified when it happened. All of a sudden, there was this crash, and this guy went right through the chair and landed up on the floor because the legs just buckled under him. I was really mortified because he was a cardiologist, and he was a specialist, and he was a man that I thought, wow. And here he was rocking back in this chair, and it just fell apart. You know, he obviously had quite a bit of faith that he could just lean back in that chair and do whatever he wanted, but his faith was misplaced. You can have just a little grain of faith, but you place that in a strong object, and it is good. You know, when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is strong. He is all-powerful, and He knows the beginning from the end, and He is faithful. And even if it's just a small grain of faith, if it's put in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the right place to be because He is strong. You know, in the final analysis, faith does not have all the facts. And there is a point where faith has to trust. Faith has to believe. Faith has to step into the unknown and trust God. It's never easy. But in the ultimate sense, faith is total reliance upon God. Fully relying on God. Faith is faith because it commits. It lays aside its hesitations and the unknowns, and it steps forward in reliance and trust upon God. How shall I be sure of this? Asked Zechariah. And he would only ever be sure after it all happened. You know, because of Zechariah's years that he had walked with God and seen God and heard all the stories of what God has done, he was called to believe and trust God in something that was well outside of his comfort zone and the realm of his experience. How shall I know this? How shall I know that this will be and this is true? You know, faith goes back to what has happened in the past. And it reaches out into the future to hold on to God in the present. God is faithful. How shall I know and be sure of this? First and foremost, do you know Jesus Christ and who He is? That is the most important thing. Who is Jesus Christ? You need to know Him. Do you? Secondly, are you growing or are you stagnating in your faith? And I speak to my own heart, I speak to each one of us. Are you growing in faith, or have you stopped believing by faith and you're just trying to live it on your own now? And you'll be sure to fail. You need to take your faith and put it in God and trust Him for the things that are way bigger than you can ever hang on to. And now it's the third thing. It's time for you to take the next step. And will it be a step in the direction of faith and God? Or will it be in the step of unbelief? Let's pray. Father, as this comes out of the whole Advent story, we think of Zechariah, a man of God, and how he had allowed doubt to take over his heart. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we'll be a people that fully rely on you, that we'll be a people that don't go around doubting and casting doubt, but that we'll be a people that put whatever faith we have in you and trust you. Even in this crazy day and time in which we live, there's a lot of things we don't have the answers for. But God, we believe you have the answer, and it's to you that we look to bring help to us at this time. You know where each one of us is at and how this is speaking into each one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'll be listening to your Spirit now. And oh, Lord, help us to take those steps of faith in you alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First cut.